Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Brayden Soprano. Thanks again for downloading and listening to The Brayden Soprano Show. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen and favorite us on the Odyssey app. You can also catch me live weekdays from 10 to 2 on 97.3 The Fan and streaming on YouTube. Plus, stay connected. Follow me at B_SURP, at BSURP on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, and subscribe to my YouTube page at BSURP. You can also follow the show on social media at B_SURP show, at BSURP show. Now, let's get into the show.
San Diego, it's time to fire it up. From the beaches to the ballparks, from the gas lamp to North County, no one knows America's finest city like he does.
You can't just punt on a Manny Machado prime year.
Yes. He's a fourth generation San Diegan, born and raised in the heart of this community. Passionate, opinionated, and always bringing you the real talk on your teams, your city, and everything in between.
Brayden totally knows his stuff. He's ready for the next step. That guy is good.
Live and local, it's the Brayden Sir Brennan Show.
But I think Brayden, one of the up-and-coming young stars in the media game in San Diego.
Now, here's your host, Brayden Soprenant.
New lunchtime hour on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. He's Frank Marchese. I'm Brayden Soprenant. This is the Brayden Soprenant Show, live and local each and every day from 10 to 2 on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+. Plus, stream your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. We're going to talk about the NFL in just a little bit, but we do want to get you updated on everything going on in Major League Baseball. We had a trade happen over the weekend. We got some other rumors out there. And what does one player that got posted in the MPB from the MPB want to do when he comes to the pros at the big leagues here? I'm sorry, not the pros, but the big leagues here in the United States. That's also some very pertinent information. Let's get to today's look at the hot stove, Frank.
We got a decent amount of stuff, and we'll start with the trade before we go to Tatsuya Imai, and that would be that the New York Metropolitans and the Texas Rangers have made a trade that will send Brandon Nimmo to the Rangers and Marcus Semien to the Mets. Nimmo has reportedly agreed to waive his no trade clause. Semien, despite a down offensive year in 2025, remains an elite defender and fits the Mets' goal of improving their defense. Nimmo is coming off of a career best offensive year and would be a boost to the Rangers' lineup struggles from last year. So a straight one for one trade. Brandon Nimmo going to Texas, and Marcus Semien coming back.
That seems like a good trade for both teams. I mean, you're swapping contracts, right? The Rangers needed to get rid of Marcus Semien's contract. He still has a lot of production, obviously, as a middle infielder. I mean, is he going to start at second base for the Mets?
Yes.
Okay, so that solves a problem for the New York Mets. But I mean, it's going to cost a little bit of money.
But it creates problems, though.
It does create problems.
Because where now, you've waited for years on Ronnie Mauricio, who's a middle infielder. Where is he going to play? Where's Luis Angel Acuña going to play? Where is Jett Williams, who is your number one prospect as a shortstop? Where is Jett Williams going to play? Where are these guys that you have been piling up? Where are these guys going to play? The only thing that I can think of for this trade is you've opened up money for Pete Alonso.
That's it's possible.
That's the only thing that I can think of. I don't mind the trade. Losing Nimmo while he was drafted by the Mets, came up through the Mets systems, been a Met for life. It doesn't hurt me to lose him. It sucks, but it doesn't hurt. I don't understand the vision, because now you only have one outfielder, and that is Juan Soto. That's it. That is your outfield right now. Your outfield is Juan Soto and Tyron Taylor. That's it.
Marcus Semien's $24 million towards the cap, too. Towards the luxury tax.
And the Mets are also paying $5 million to Texas in this deal as well.
For Nimmo?
Yes.
So they're going to pay $5 million to Nimmo, and then they're going to pay all of Marcus Semien's contract.
Yeah. It's less money over less years.
Oh, they just don't have to... Well, they don't have to pay... extra years, right?
Right.
But it's more towards the AAV, and it's more per year, but it's just less years of the contract.
Yes.
So they're going to pay Semien $26 million this year, $26 next year, and $20 in 2028. He's already 35 years old.
Yeah.
So you get him for the age 35 season, 36, and 37 season for the New York Mets. I think it's a good move for the Texas Rangers.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
You free up a lot of money. And the Texas Rangers are a team that can spend money. So they get an outfielder now that's younger. He's controllable for a long period of time. They get $5 million off on his deal. So he only counts for $20 million on the AAV. They're going to pay him $20.5 every year until 2030. They wanted to free up that big money. They wanted to get rid of Mark. Semien has been hurt a lot for the Texas Rangers. Mm-hmm. So they get out of that contract. They inherit this five-year what's left of Brandon Nimmo's contract, and then they get the extra money from the New York Mets. Is that what it was? Brandon Nimmo's signing bonus they have to pay.
Yeah.
The Mets are only giving him $5 million for this year.
So yes.
And take $5 million off the top. And that's the trade. I don't mind it. We were talking about flipping contracts.
Yeah, on Friday.
On Friday. For a guy like, was it Nimmo? I think it was somebody else.
It was Nimmo. Jeff McNeil.
I think, was the flip for us, because Nimmo was too expensive. And I thought it was going to be shocking if the Mets traded Nimmo, because who was going to take the contract? Well, if you got Marcus Semien, you get rid of
Rangers.
That money. Yeah, flipped it.
There you go.
So we'll see what they try to do. I don't. That's a good question by GoAztix. Do you think the Rangers try to flip Seager now?
I
Seager's 31. He's going to be 32 next year at the end of next season, and you're paying him $31.5 million every year until 2032 when he becomes a free agent. He's got 6 years left of that deal. He's been pretty good for the Rangers, though. He's won them a World Series.
I can't see them selling off Seager for like a rebuild when you just took on more money for a longer amount of time with Brandon Nimmo. I just don't see them like tearing that team down. That's my issue. Bless you.
They save money towards the luxury tax, though, because they get $4 million off in comparison. They don't mind spreading it out over 5 years. And then the Corey Seager thing, it's 32.5 off the books if you can make a trade. I just don't know if that's something they would do. I mean, are the Rangers fans going to like that?
It's the same thing. You're going to have to find a partner.
They're upset that Heim didn't get a contract.
Yeah.
Rangers fans. Yep. And speaking of, we're going to get to that in just a little bit. But what else is going on the market?
So here's the fun thing about Tetsuya Imai. We've talked about it. We haven't heard too much from him as far as what he wants, what he's looking for in coming over to the major leagues. Well, that has changed. Tetsuya Imai, of course, was asked about wanting to play for a team like the Dodgers. If it sounds like I'm stuttering, this was translated directly from Japanese, so it might not be written as in English.
But the term says lost in translation.
Yes. He goes, I want to take them down, speaking of playing together with guys like Otani, Yamamoto, Sasaki, and others. of course it sounds fun, but I think beating a team like that and becoming world champions would be the most valuable thing in my life. He also mentioned this on a Japanese talk show. He said wanting to play on a team with Japanese players, whether or not he would want to do that. He said, if there were Japanese people, they'd just tell you anything if you asked, right? I don't really want that. In a way, I want to experience that survival vibe, and when facing cultural differences, make how I overcome them on my own one of the fun parts. So it sounds like he, one, does not want to play on a super team. He does not want to play for a team like the Dodgers. He also does not want to play on a team that currently has any Japanese players on it to influence. And so he can, it sounds like he wants that challenge of the cultural hurdle.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure. And I agree with Goaz. Didn't Roki Sasaki say the same thing?
He didn't say
anything
about... He
said a lot of similar things.
He didn't say anything about not wanting to play with Japanese players, though.
I've heard that before out of a lot of conversations of Japanese players coming over. They don't want to play with other Japanese players sometimes. They want to like be their own guy. And so like people are like, oh, Padres have Yu Darvish, so I can be able to, you know, get XYZ. My thing is with this... I find this entire thing to be eyewash, because until the guy signs, it doesn't really matter. He could say whatever he wants. Like, remember when Vlad Guerrero Jr. said, like, I never want to be a Yankee? I mean, if he went to the open market and the Yankees gave him the most money, do you think he'd still say, I'm not going to be a Yankee?
No.
Money talks.
No, I mean, I don't think he'd be a Yankee. Ken Griffey Jr. said the same thing.
I know, but Ken Griffey Jr. is at a point where he could afford to do that. I don't know. Like, Vlad Guerrero said it, and then he retraced his steps right before he went to free agency, and then he ended up re-signing with the Blue Jays. I'm just saying. These guys say a lot of stuff, and then the contract comes in, and then they backtrack all of these things. Until he signs with, like, somebody that's... doesn't have Japanese players, and it's not the Dodgers. I think it'd be hard to find. I think it's gonna be hard to believe this guy. To be honest with you,
I mean, if you could say possibly San Francisco,
yeah, maybe he wants to go be a Giant.
Seattle doesn't have any Japanese players on it, as far as I can remember. If he wants to stay on the West Coast, if he wants to stay close to Japan. I think San Francisco and Seattle will probably be the only two landing spots like that. Arizona, yeah, possibly. I mean, I know this is all in the division, but...
I agree with Clay in the South Bay. Believe it when the ink is dry on the contract. To me, it's just talk.
Yeah, well,
I think it's to try to get teams that don't have Japanese players and teams that aren't the Dodgers to compete for his services. That's what I translate that to.
Two more Japanese stars, infielder Kazuma Okamoto and pitcher Kona Takahashi, have also posted for MLB free agency, joining previously posted MLB NPB standouts Munetaka Murakami and the aforementioned Tetsuya Imai. This adds to an already notable group of Japanese players available to major league teams this off season. I saw Okamoto's numbers. Those really were not that bad. I think that might be a get for the Padres here.
I think this is just showing, I think baseball's done a great job in growing the game around the world.
100%, yes.
And you're going to get a lot of great players from a lot of different parts of the world. The more that they continue to have their own leagues, the more that baseball continues to grow, and you're going to see more and more Japanese players. We've seen a lot of influx from Latin America.
Where's that Saudi league? Hold on.
Yeah. But that's the benefit of growing the game. This is why, like with the NFL, every time it gets irritating watching them play in Europe and stuff like that, they're behind on the baseball thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to grow their sport in these countries and get people to start leagues in those countries to increase their personnel and get more people to play, more athletes to play the sport. And baseball's starting to reap the benefits of that. I think this is all going back to like the World when they started the World Baseball Classic.
Yeah.
And it gives people opportunities to play in the highest league and play this game, in this great game, all over the world.
We'll do two more here. Ryan Helsley, an elite closer who hasn't started since 2019 in AAA, is drawing free agent interest as a potential starting pitcher. Multiple teams, including the Tigers, are exploring the idea. After a disappointing 2025 season and facing a deep closer market, Helsley may benefit financially and competitively from shifting to a starting rotation role, especially with high-end arms in short supply. He is not alone in considering this move, as Brad Keller and Luke Weaver are also open to returning to the rotation.
We talked about bringing in Helsley as a Padre to be a bullpen arm, can move somebody else to the starting rotation.
Yep.
Interesting. But now Helsley would probably cost a little bit more, correct?
Didn't we determine that? If he were a starter, yeah, it would boost his value financially as well.
Well, I mean, you could only sign him for what? I mean, he hasn't done it yet, so you can't give him a big
deal. No, you can't give him 20.
Deal. What
you
was his...
20 a year, but I think the projection was like 8. $8 or $9 million.
It was something where it made sense for them to be.
It was like a 1 year, 8 or 9. I think it was. Was his projection?
What was his? I gotta find his WAR to try to find him on this thing. Ryan Helsley, 2 years, $21 million, is what the projection is on FanGraphs. $10 million a year.
Is that as a starter or a reliever? I mean, I would pay that either way, but
that's a cheap starter though.
Yeah. It's a very cheap starter.
It's a more expensive bullpen arm, but he is a back end bullpen guy. Mm-hmm. And it's a cheaper starter. I think that's a good pick for the Padres.
I would agree. Now you
don't have to. And so now if he has the opportunity to be a starting pitcher, you can sign Ryan Helsley and you improve your bullpen. And guess what? You don't have to run out Adrian Morahon or Mason Miller to potentially be a starter. You can give Ryan Helsley a shot.
And you get Hell's Bells at the beginning of the game instead of the eighth inning.
That's going to be odd anyway. But there's going to be other players like that the Padres have to hit on, and they've done a good job in converting relievers to starters. Ryan Helsley at age 31, I could see that. Now, his WAR last year was a 0.2. Looked like he was tipping his pitches, right? That was the big claim.
Yeah, that was
his... Mets think they fixed that before he left for free agency, but a 0.8 projected WAR next year.
They noticed it. It didn't look like they fixed it, but they noticed it.
He's projected to have a 0.8 WAR next year, according to FanGraphs. I think that's worth the sign for him.
Yeah,
again, we're putting the Padres spending at like $30 million, which is a gigantic guess, because who knows how much they're going to have. But if that's the case and you need to sign a starter or a reliever and a power bat, that's one-third of your money there, and it almost hits two needs.
Yeah.
You either solidify the bullpen or you move him to the starter spot. I think it'd be a good sign for the Padres.
I would agree with that as well.
One last one here with a minute to go.
Lucas Giolito rebounded from an elbow surgery in 2025 with a strong season for Boston, posting a 3.41 ERA in 26 starts, making him an appealing free agent. The Diamondbacks have already held early conversations with Giolito, especially significant given that ace Zach Gallen may have just became a free agent. With Gallen gone, Merrill Kelly traded, and Corbin Burns rehabbing from a Tommy John surgery of his own, Arizona's rotation is thin, increasing their need for a starter like the aforementioned Lucas Giolito.
Yeah, everybody needs starting pitching.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Diamondbacks have pumped a lot of money in their starting pitching, have not gotten a lot of luck with injuries. I mean, last year they got decimated by injuries early in the season, really, you know, put them behind the eight ball late in the year, and they ended up having a miserable year. Considering that they were expected to finish in front of the Padres in the standings at the beginning of the year and be a playoff team. I mean, I thought at the beginning of the season that was the team you had to worry about the most, and they ended up not being a team you had to worry about the most. You had to worry about the Giants a little bit more than you did the Diamondbacks until they started to turn it on again late in the season, but by that time the damage had already been done. Be a nice sign for the Diamondbacks if they're interested in that. I bet you this is, again, the market for starting pitching. The numbers are high, and I always look back to Sean Manaea and the money he got from the New York Mets.
learned a lot about Lucas Giolito when he was coming up, because he was supposed to be the third head in that three-headed monster of Scherzer, Strasburg, and then Giolito coming up. So he never met his full potential, but it would be a he's turned into a solid pitcher, solid middle of the rotation pitcher.
This hour, 97 to the Fan, is brought to you by Mission Fed. From first accounts to big life moments, Mission Fed can help. Saving should it be stressful? Mission Fed makes it easier with great rates on savings, certificates, and ultra money market accounts. Grow your money the smart way. Check the latest rates and open an account at missionfed.com. Membership and account criteria apply. When we come back, there's a couple of names that have been non-tenured contracts that are joining the free agency class, and a couple of them are from the Texas Rangers, and some that were projected to be trade candidates at the deadline. We'll talk about who might be available, maybe for the Padres or others, when we come back, that were unexpected here on the Brayden Ciprenic Show. Settings on Sports Station 97 through the Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We got a big sports day in San Diego. We got San Diego FC playing tonight, and we got San Diego State basketball playing tonight. San Diego FC's got a playoff game. We're going to break that down on the 1 o'clock hour with Drake Hills and talk a little bit about the game at 1:15. And then Aztecs got a game against Michigan tonight at 7:30. That game will be on True TV tonight. That's game one of their first two in the Players' Era championships being played in Vegas. Tennessee and Rutgers was earlier today. The Tennessee Volunteers won, the Rutgers Scarlet Knights able to knock down Tennessee in that game, 85-60. So that's a little bit of an upset to get things started in the Players Era Festival. As we look at some of the scores, we got games on right now. So Tennessee won 85-60. That's what I thought. The ESPN app is backwards on my phone.
Love it.
Yeah, that's great. So we look at the top. We look at some of the teams here in the Player Era Festival. So Tennessee won the first game, 85-60. Game two is currently on TNT. It's Baylor and it's Creighton. And Baylor's got a 53-52 lead on Creighton in the second half. Next game coming up is Kansas and Notre Dame back on TNT. That game will start at 12:30. And then Iowa State and St. John's will play back on True TV. Houston and Syracuse will play at 3 o'clock. Auburn and Oregon will play at 5 o'clock. As Oregon is one of the teams that San Diego State will play in this tournament. Gonzaga will play Alabama at 6:30. Aztecs and Michigan at 7:30. UNLV and Maryland will play at 9 p.m. tonight. That's a midnight tip-off on the East Coast. So all the Maryland fans will be tuned in at midnight for a tip-off in this Players' Era Festival. That's all today. Again, tomorrow, Aztecs will be in action. Another late one. as they will play closer to 8 o'clock Pacific time against Oregon. Tomorrow's matchups are Rutgers and Notre Dame, Creighton and Iowa State, Kansas and Syracuse, Baylor and St. John's, Houston and Tennessee, Auburn and Michigan, Gonzaga and Maryland, San Diego State and Oregon, and UNLV and Alabama will have the nightcap. Should be a fun couple of days of college basketball. Then on Wednesday, you're going to have a bunch of different games being played out with the men's, consolation games, men's championship game, third place game, and that's all going to be seeded based on how the first two rounds go. So San Diego State, like they said last year, they were able to put together two wins and then play Houston. And they had a great time in the Players Era Festival. They're making money as they play, so we'll keep you updated on everything that's going on in the Players Era Festival as we get ready for a game tonight. San Diego State and Michigan, we'll talk about that in the 1 o'clock hour as well. Let's get to some of this stuff in the and three players in particular, Frank, that have been released, or should I say non-tenured contracts that now become free agents. Two of them are Texas Rangers, but a lot of interesting names that were on the non-tenured deadline list that now join free agency.
Yeah, so we have from the Texas Rangers, you'd mentioned two of them. We'll start off with their catcher. You'd mentioned him earlier, Jonah Heim. Ranger fans not happy that he was not tendered. So he is a free agent now. Jonah Heim is going into his age 30 season, projected contract about $6 million. But right now he has to be the leading candidate for catcher in what is a thin catcher market.
Yeah, I think the Jonah Heim thing is very interesting. I mean, as of right now, Luis Camposano is the backup catcher for the San Diego Padres. I thought Jonah Heim would be a good upgrade to the Padres last year before they ended up trading for Freddie Fermin. Instead, Jonah Heim becomes a valuable asset, I think, to a lot of teams at $6 million projected at age 30. And the fact that the Padres actually have the catching position solidified. I don't think they have the resources right now to be investing in a catching spot, but that's an intriguing player on the open market now. I think a lot of people are interested in this other one, though, the right fielder that the Padres could potentially turn into a DH. I just don't know how much money he would get, Coach.
Before that, bad news. I did not get picked for the banana ball ticket draw.
Oh, that's sad.
Darn it. Anyway, right fielder, Adolis Garcia, as you move it. Thank you. Right fielder Adolis Garcia is going into his age 33 season, projected contract of $12.1 million. He was also not tendered by the Texas Rangers. Hit just .227 last year, had 19 home runs and 13 stolen bases across 547 plate appearances. That would fix the power issue. But there's not really too many places you could play Adolis Garcia right now.
He'd have to be the DH only.
And
essentially,
who's your first baseman? I guess you're moving Gavin Sheets.
You could have
to
Gavin Sheets
base.
Play first
okay.
base.
Well, that's,
I mean, that's a possibility of what you could do. Now, the problem is with Adolis Garcia is you are taking a risk because he is continuing to decline with his offensive production. I don't know if it's been being on bad teams, but he had that big year in 2021 and a huge season in 2023, won a gold glove, got an all-star nod while helping Texas win the World Series, as you mentioned before, but declining performance and a lot of swing and misses issues could be a problem. And so is that worth the $12.1 million? You know, potentially. I think he could be a DH for you. At age 33, at about $10 to $12 million, I think that's a good I think that would be a good upgrade with the power, and I would have him be a DH. But maybe he could play a little bit in the outfield. Maybe he could be your fourth outfielder as well as a DH. It gives you a little bit of versatility. But I wouldn't mind it. I just, you're taking the risk, though, that you're hoping that he doesn't go 3 years in a row of declining production. The only way I would sign Adolis Garcia if I'm the Padres, one, he's a DH, and two, it's a one-year deal.
Yeah.
With incentives. And maybe you give yourself a club option for the next year.
I mean, with a .227 average on a full season, that ain't great.
It's not great.
He had a bad year overall, but
it's not great, but if he has power numbers, you take it. But if he doesn't have the power numbers and he's hitting .227.
19 homers? Is
that's
that
not. No, it's not. He's got to be hitting like 25 homers to hit 227. If he gets that up to like 240 something and gets you 20 home runs, 25 home runs, you know, you'll take the power surge, right? I mean, that's what he's there for. But he needs to be a lot better.
He does. The last one is a right-handed pitcher, name you guys will know very well. Evan Phillips is age 31 season. He was non-tendered by the Dodgers, projected $6.1 million contract. He does have quite an injury history. He had Tommy John surgery back in June and has also dealt with rotator cuff and forearm injuries over the last couple of years.
Eh.
I wouldn't touch that.
No, not with injuries. There's a lot of, I know you need a lot of arms, but the Padres have other options in that particular case. So I'm interested in Adolis Garcia for the right price. I think that adds a little bit to this market. The fact that he's around $10 to $12 million, I think, is a good spot. I mean, give yourself that $30 million range. Ryan Helsley, Adolis Garcia. I mean, these are the players that I think the Padres should sign. These veteran players that still have some left, but not on their tail end, like at the very end, like the last couple of years that the Padres have signed these guys to $1 million contracts. These are the type of players that you would like to see the Padres sign during the offseason instead of having to make trades in the middle of the year. Mm-hmm. And I think these are players that help. I mean, we talked about that with Ryan O'Hearn. Now, would you rather have Ryan O'Hearn than Adolis Garcia? I'd probably rather have Ryan O'Hearn than Adolis Garcia.
Yes.
For the price out there, yeah. Ryan Helsley, about $10 million. I think that adds value. And now all of a sudden you have maybe one more signing you can do in the bullpen.
Both me and Go Aztecs are in on this one as well. Christopher Morel at the right price wouldn't be a bad fit here either.
We're talking about Christian Ponce as well, you know, coming back over from the KBO. I mean, there are some players that are available that are affordable players. And this just adds to the list now with a couple of non-tenured contracts by the Texas Rangers. It'll be interesting to see how the Texas Rangers go through their offseason. We'll keep you updated on baseball stuff as it rolls out. But when we come back, it is time to get to the NFL whip around. What happened yesterday in the National Football League? We'll talk about it when we come back. The Braden Soprano Show, San Diego Sports Station, 97.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back, and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's holiday season. Too many San Diegans will go hungry. Join 97.3 The Fan and support the San Diego Food Bank. Donate food directly online through our Odyssey San Diego Food Fund, where every donation helps feed local families. Go to 97.3thefansd.com/foodfund and give today. He's Frank Marchese. I'm Braden Soprenant. This is the Braden Soprenant Show, live and local each and every day from 10 to 2 on San Diego's number sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Kids are out of school this week. Thanksgiving on Thursday. We got a lot of college basketball going on this week as well. Aztecs will take on Michigan tonight. We'll talk about that more in the 1 o'clock hour. But we do want to get to the National Football League. This is what's great about college basketball, though. I was telling Frank this. So the AP Top 25 came out today. on a Monday in the middle of the game. So Tennessee was playing Rutgers today in the Players Era Festival. They're the first team to play, the first game to play out in Vegas. Mm-hmm. Tennessee at the beginning of the day was ranked 20 in the country. So on the bug, they had a little 20 next to their name. Midway through the game when the AP poll came out, it got flipped to 17 because they moved up three spots in the AP top 25.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
How about that?
Tennessee won over Rutgers in game one of this deal. Baylor has a 66-62 lead on Creighton right now in the Players Era Festival. Notre Dame and Kansas just tipped off. Again, this is the tournament that San Diego State is currently playing in or going to play in tonight. They will play the 7th-ranked Michigan Wolverines tonight. So that will be at 7:30 for the Aztec game. We also have San Diego FC on today. Tonight, they're in a single. That's now a single elimination tournament.
Yes.
For the MLS Cup, a win, and they go to the Western Conference Final against Vancouver. A loss in their season is over. They play tonight at Snapdragon Stadium at 7:00. We'll talk about that with Drake Hills in the next hour as well, and Frank and I will break down that game in the 1:00 hour. A lot to get to, but let's get to what happened yesterday in the National Football League with our NFL whip around.
Off and rolling after week 12 of the NFL season, as we had mentioned before, the Pittsburgh Steelers come away with a 3-point loss. Their record now goes to 6-5 after losing to a team that is known as
the Bears.
Final score 31-28.
They're now tied for first place. The Ravens, with the 5-game winning streak after winning again yesterday, have put themselves in first place in the AFC North. What is our famed saying on this show?
Right, but too early.
Right, but too early. I told you, the Baltimore Ravens are going to win that division. Pittsburgh Steelers are not very good. I, for sure, thought they were going to be able to beat the Bears. The Bears continue to just skate by the way. By the skin of their teeth. Bears haven't beaten a single team this year with a winning record. They're at 8-3. They lead the NFC North. We'll see what happens later on this week. They got the Eagles on Friday.
They have beaten a team with a winning record.
So who was it?
That would have been the Pittsburgh Steelers.
No, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Thank you very
That's
much.
That's their first win over a team with a winning record, who, by the way, is about to not have a winning record by the week's end.
Game I thought was actually going to be a little bit further, it's going to be separated a little bit more. The now 10-2 New England Patriots beating the Cincinnati Bengals, who fall to 3-8, 26-20. I thought the Pats would have handled Cincinnati a little bit better than they did.
Nate was a little afraid of that game. Trap game. Nate Taylor in the chat, the big Patriots fan. O-line is kind of devastated by injuries right now for the Patriots. Left side lost to an ankle and knee concerns. Trevion Henderson continued to take running back one snaps over Stevenson. Patriots become the first team to get to 10 wins. As for the Bengals, their season's now over. I know it's going to be hard to come back up through. I know Joe Burrow's expected to come back and play.
There's no reason. Don't.
There's no reason to have him play. And like, unless he just really wants to play. But with your O-line in Cincinnati, you're going to get him killed again. So they should be starting to shift towards 2026. I don't see how the Bengals are going to be able to resurrect their season at 3-8 and 3.5 games back behind Pittsburgh.
You're going
to three games behind Pittsburgh and Baltimore. I mean, it's going to be tough to undercut. Yeah, they're going to have to run the table. I don't think they're going to be able to do it. They'll get a first round draft pick. And you know what they'll do? As Go Aztec said, they'll waste that on receiver instead of getting O-line help.
Well, there you go.
And that's why they're the Bengals.
It's always nice to have a plan. The 4-7 now Minnesota Vikings losing at Lambeau Field to the 7-3-1 Green Bay Packers. Packers right now half a game out of the NFC North division lead after a 23-6 win against the last place Vikings.
The NFC North finish is going to be fun.
Yes.
How do Vikings fans feel about JJ McCarthy, by the way? I mean, this is technically his first season. Like, this is his real rookie season, and he's already missed some time at the beginning part of it. I think you got to give him some time, but, I mean, the Vikings are going to be drafting high this year. Draft some old linemen. Get him some more. I mean, Justin Jefferson's got to just be in a box right now dealing with J.J. McCarthy. Vikings in last place at 4-7. NFC North, the Packers and Lions, I think, are the best teams in that division, but we'll see what the Bears got.
Right,
they got the Eagles on Friday. And again, we mentioned before, they've lost to the Lions and to the Vikings. They beat the Vikings once. Lost to the Ravens with a winning record. They still have to play the Packers twice and the Lions one more time. You're going to really... I mean, if the Bears finished the season in first place, they would have earned it.
Don't have to be the best. You just have to be the one that refuses to lose the most.
We'll get a last place schedule.
The 8-3 now, Seattle Seahawks. This was also a very close game. Beating the Tennessee Titans, who fall to 1-10, 30-24.
You know what's interesting about that game is the Titans are still not mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, but the right. Giants at 2-10 are.
Yep. Well, one less game.
Yeah, I know. But still, they have one more win. Giants are the only team to be eliminated from postseason contention.
Yep.
Titans keep battling. Cam Ward's good. He needs some help. I just, their coaching is not good over there. We knew that was going to be the case. The Titans have made so many catastrophic mistakes with their organization. I'm not surprised they're in the position they're in. And as Eddie George said, that ownership group has set them back 10 years. And it's going to take them forever to get back to being somewhat relevant. So, we'll see. Sam Darnold, clean, but he got lucky a lot on Sunday. Several dangerous throws. Seattle is quietly 8-3, by the way, and hanging with the top of the NFC West. As for the Titans, Cam Ward is showing a lot of progress, something to build around in Nashville. And rookie returner, Shamir Dyke, 90-yard punt return for a touchdown on the weekend. That's fun.
Yeah, not too bad. Speaking of fun, that was the Giants Lions game to watch. Lions, once again, due to the Giants, what seems like half the league has done to the Giants here recently, which is beat them when they had absolutely no right doing so, with a big run in overtime to get the win over the Giants. But the play everyone was talking about is this.
Another trick play as Olszewski throws. Whoa! It's caught. Olszewski with the pass.
Whoa!
Into the end zone for a Giants touchdown, Jameis Winston.
That, you heard that right. That was Kenny Albert on NFL on Fox. That was a pitch by Jameis Winston to the back to Jameis Winston for the touchdown. So the Giants just flat out don't care anymore, and they're pulling out all of the schoolyard BS with Jameis Winston.
Didn't they fire their offensive coordinator today?
I think they did. I know the Raiders did.
I think the Giants did too. Lions should be a little concerned with this win. They trailed most of that game to the 2-9 Giants.
Yeah, they did.
Jahmyr Gibbs erupted for 219 rushing yards, 45 receiving yards, and 3 touchdowns. Amon Ross St. Brown had career-high 4 drops in that game against the Giants. As for the Giants, that's their 5th blown double-digit lead of the season.
Yeah,
that's the other thing that's frustrating to the Giants, is like they've had big leads on a lot of teams, and they're sitting there at 2-10 now.
Mm-hmm.
That ties an NFL record, by the way.
Good.
For the most times, the team has had double-digit leads and has lost. Wandale Robinson had a career day, 156 yards. Like that, somebody that hasn't been fantasy. Coaching and situational execution was failed repeatedly for the Giants.
Mike Kafka has confirmed that Shane Bowen has been relieved of his duties. Linebacker coach Charlie Bullen will assume the defensive coordinator role.
So the DC is
the defensive coordinator that was gone.
Hey man, you can't have Jameis Winston throwing and catching touchdowns on the same play.
I mean,
and not give that guy a promotion.
I know, right?
It's the defense that let him down.
Boys, we don't care anymore. It's off to the schoolyard. Another close game in Kansas City. This one also went to overtime. We'll give you the play that set it up and then the finish.
Stepping up and heaving it, and Worthy makes the catch, and they're in field goal range. And the kick is good. Kansas City survives.
And that was exactly right. Jim Nance, NFL on CBS, as the Chiefs go up to 6-5, beating the now 8-3 Colts 23-20.
Chiefs are starting to slowly trend up. Colts are starting to slowly trend down. Kansas City finally wins a one-score game. Hey, it's been a long time. They keep their playoff hopes alive, as mentioned before, with the 23-20 win over the Colts in overtime. Mahomes looked pretty good late. Rasheed Rice goes from 3 yards in the first half to 111. total on the game. Kareem Hunt had 104 rushing yards, and the defense really flipped the game, forced four straight Indy three and outs as the Colts offense imploded. Only five first downs in the second half and overtime, went way too pass heavy. Jonathan Taylor, totally underused, who, by the way, is good enough to be an MVP this season for the NFL, and they have now lost their division lead. It's a big question for Shane Steichen right now. Colts starting to trend in the wrong direction at the wrong time. These are our Colts.
Stop it. The Baltimore Ravens defeating the New York Jets in Baltimore 23-10. Ravens now 6-5. Like we said at the top of the show, it's 2 6-5 teams, two very different outlooks.
Yes, absolutely. Ravens are going in the correct direction, and a good win for the Ravens. Continue to do good things. They're going to win that division. Moving on.
Shedeur Sanders had 1 week of practice, and that was apparently all he needed. Cleveland Browns beating the Vegas Raiders 24-10. Browns now 3-8 on the season, 1-0 in the Shedeur Sanders starting era, with the Vegas Raiders falling to 2-9.
Shedeur Sanders wins his debut. He had a lot of big playability, flashed it a lot. I mean, he is going against the Raiders, though. How about the fact that Kevin Stefanski yesterday said Dylan Gabriel will start when healthy, and then today they announced that Dylan Gabriel, who has cleared concussion protocol,
he won't be healthy now, for a while.
Well, he's going to be healthy, and now he's not going to play.
Great.
So it's going to be Shedeur. Miles Garrett has 18 sacks, career and franchise record. He's chasing the 22.5 all-time NFL record. I think he's not going to be able to get to that. Geno Smith sacked 10 times behind an awful offensive line for the Raiders. Offense is dysfunctional. You know, Geno's obviously not the long-term answer. Chip Kelly's not the long-term answer either. The offense coordinator, they fired him after 1 year. Missed opportunities early, doomed the Raiders. The Raiders continue to be the Raiders.
We'll go through this one quickly. In a game that nobody watched, Jacksonville beat Arizona 27-24.
I watched that game because I had the Jags in Survivor.
You're the only one.
No, there was two other people that had them in Survivor picks. They're 7-4, firmly in the AFC South race. They're only a game behind the Colts, the Jags. I don't care if it was scary against the Cardinals. I'm just glad that they won. Cardinals have lost now 8 of the last 9. Could be weeks before her next win. Michael Wilson is emerging as a wideout. 10 catches, 118 yards. Week 14 matchup for the Jags and Indy could be the division championship. You didn't think that was going to be the case a couple of weeks ago when Indy was rolling.
Was not looking like it was going to be a good day down at Jerry World, as the Cowboys were having a very tough time with the
E-L-G-S.
Oh, God.
L-G-S.
Learn how to spell your team's name if you want to be mayor in said city, please.
Devontae Smith. Now, I got this highlight before the game was over, and I didn't feel like going back to get it. I didn't feel like doing this highlight to begin with. Devontae Smith, though, made one hell of a catch.
Eagles need to get to the 40. Hurts loading up, going deep. Devontae Smith comes back and gets it. Oh, Devontae Smith on a beautiful throw and a bomb and a first down for the Eagles.
Eagles lose the game 24-21 after leading 21-0.
As Shoddy said, Schottenheimer spotted him 21 points, came back and won 24-21. Historic comeback, tied biggest in team history for the Dallas Cowboys. They're now 5-5-1 heading into Kansas City on Thanksgiving. CeeDee Lamb continues to have drop problems. He had 3 more drops, 8 more on the 8 on the season. Dak clutch in the final minute, overcame a lot of coaching mistakes by the Dallas Cowboys. Eagles 21-0 lead they blew. Injuries on defense continue to mount. Saquon fumbled, Gibson muff punt, fatal miscues. Hurts was good early, cold late, pressure grew after reports of internal frustration. They still lead the NFC East, but lost ground on the number one seed, as the Rams are now the number one seed in the NFC. Cowboys still hanging around. And how about Thursday's game? Chiefs and Cowboys, two organizations hanging around for the playoffs. That's a wrap for today's episode of the Brayden Suprenant Show. If you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to the podcast and favorite us on the Odyssey app. And remember, you can always catch me live weekdays from 10 to 2 on 97.3 The Fan and streaming on YouTube. Stay connected. Follow me at B_SURP, at BSURP on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. And don't forget to subscribe to my YouTube page at B_SURP. You can also follow the show on social media at B_SURP show. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next time.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.